Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police departments. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Lots of soul, lots of Okay, today our primary topic is hamlets and villages. Hamlets and villages. What is a hamlet? What is a village? As compared to a town or a city. 619-768-2945. And apparently the Oscar debacle is still trending. Not as strong as it was last week, but it's still a little residual left. So we're gonna, I'm going to put out there the Oscar Board of Governors issued their, I guess for lack of a better word, punishment, and that is the actor Will Smith is banned from all official Oscar activities, because they have more than the Oscar Awards. They have little ceremonies that go on throughout the year. But he is banned for the next 10 years from attending any of those, including hosting any of those. Okay. He can still be nominated and win for Best Actor. He can still be in any film production that is produced out of Hollywood. He's just banned from attending any public events. Now, some people think that's ample punishment because he did resign prior to that. He wasn't a part of the Academy before they came down with that ruling. But some people think that's not enough. Some think that he should voluntarily give his Oscar back. Now, he did not have to give that back. They said 10 years and they're good. The Oscar, the Board of Governors. But there's some people that believe that he should give it back. So I think there's only one condition that he should give it back. Personally, I think he should keep it. But I think there's only one condition that he should give it back. And I will reveal what that is in a few minutes. And then we'll get into our discussion on hamlets and villages.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
Because I used to observe that a lot of little shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and beg, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their
hands. Anything with their hands. Okay. That was Neely Fuller. Before we get into the Oscar Gate thing, today we talk. Our primary topic is hamlets and villages, and I want to cover this because this is. I want people to think about this. Start in your own village. Start in your own community. We're talking about offline. And historically, African American or black folks, whatever you want to call us, we've got a pretty good track record with this here in the United States. Now, let me get to... I'm reading here. A village is usually, but not always, within a single town. A village may, there's a superiority on that. Now, doesn't have to be incorporated. And I'll give it a good example. Hopkins Park, Illinois, is a village which was founded by black folks. It's a village within the Pembroke Township of Illinois. I was there about 3 years ago, about a year before the pandemic. And typically it's in the rural area where it was a lot easier to do something like that. They went to the Pembroke Pound Township, bought a considerable amount of land within the Pembroke Township, and they started Hopkins Park, Illinois. Now, let me give some dimensions on that. Pembroke is a little bit over 52 square miles in size with area. Okay, Hopkins Park, which is within that, is a little over 4 square miles. So Pembroke, the larger community, is a little bit over 52 square miles in area. And Hopkins Park is a little bit over 4 miles. You can translate that. There are calculators on that line where you can convert square miles to acres, which we'll do at another time. Right outside of Washington, D.C., there is a village. Some people might call it a neighborhood now, but it started off as a village, North Brentwood, Maryland. And North Brentwood, Maryland, that's on 72 acres of land. All right? Another village. Now, Fairmount Heights, Maryland, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., too, which is a historic black township. And you know what? Most people that live in the D.C. area don't even know that. But anyway, they're on 173 acres. And let's see. You have Highland Beach, Maryland, which I've covered that on here before. Highland Beach, Maryland, now, started off as a village, let me give something important. A hamlet could be a plot of land and there's nothing special about it. A village typically has to have two points of interest, maybe a place of worship and a meeting location. There's no set in stone style on it has to be a certain amount of acres or whatever. So Highland Beach, Maryland, which is now a town, okay, it has a municipal charter, that's only on 51 acres. And 51 acres is attainable by anybody that's listening to this podcast. And then Summit, Oklahoma, and I've been to all these places, Summit, Oklahoma, which I've been there twice, that's on 525 acres. So without a municipal charter, you can call these places overall villages. Towns and cities typically have definite legal boundaries. Many of them have municipal charters and that type of thing, whereas in a hamlet, or particularly a village, it's a lot less informal and it's easier to start. And every big town or city right now started off as a hamlet and or village. So we'll go more into that because that's what we're doing with the properties that we have. Now, the Oscars handed down their, I guess for lack of a better term, punishment on Will Smith. And prior to them doing that, Will Smith did resign from the Academy voluntarily. Okay, so they couldn't boot him out. He got out on his own. So the Board of Governors met
and they came up with he's banned from attending any Oscar. He can't attend the Academy Awards for the next 10 years. He can't attend any, and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, that's the name of it. And they present the Oscars. They have other events through the years. I mean, through the year, he cannot attend any of those events as well. So although he cannot attend, okay, for the next 10 years, all right, he has his own production company, Overbrook Entertainment, which he's had for the last 24 years, which has produced some box office hits that everybody on here has probably heard of. So that's still in operation. He can still make movies. He can be in other people's movies. Because Hollywood, it's just one among several film communities around the globe. I mean, 87% of the planet doesn't even speak English. So Hollywood isn't known to everybody. Now, me personally, I think, now they've ruled that he can't attend for 10 years. They did not strip him of his award. And as Will Smith said, whatever they come up with, he accepts and respects it and all that. So I'm going to say the same thing. Now, some people believe that he needs to turn that trophy in. So, in my opinion, and I'm just one among a million, actually probably a billion people that have different opinions, but I think he should only turn that award in, that trophy in, under these conditions only. Number one, and these conditions have to be met by Will Smith, the Academy, not anybody in Hollywood, just Will Smith. Number one, if he decides to turn in that award, Oscar for Best Actor, he should start his own streaming service. He already has a production company, Overbrook, like it's been going for 24 years strong, and has produced box office hits that most of us know about. He should start his own streaming service, a la Netflix, a la Hulu, a la Amazon. Those are all Apple. Those are all streaming companies within, and they each and every one of them has their own streaming community. So I believe Will Smith, before, as one of the conditions of him turning in that Oscar, is he start, and lack for, I'm just, this is just for the sake of this conversation, Will Stream. He started his own streaming service, okay? And we subscribe to it just like we do with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. The next condition, he has to do this before he turns in this award, okay? Next thing is he must establish his own platform for recognizing the achievements of people in the film community that he produces, okay? And that's the Willie Awards. Could be a better name, I'm just saying. I did this last minute. Have the Willie Awards, that award the Best Picture, Best Act, all the categories that the Oscars have, plus or minus, whatever they want to do, but have the Willie Awards and make it a nice, slick, red carpet event, just like the Oscar Awards. And just like what Don Cornelius came up with the Soul Train Awards, and the Soul Train Awards is still out there. It's still out there. It's still in play, and he's gone. He used to have the Soul Train Comedy Awards. I wish somebody would bring that back, but the Soul Train Awards are still here, so
let and then Berry Gordy, they did when they did that Motown 25 thing, that was a slick production. But have the Willie Awards that recognize, you know, black filmmakers, black actors and actresses, or minority, I'll put it that way. Throw Mexican, throw anybody in. Okay, any way they want to do it. But he set up that platform for the Willie Awards. Three, now you might come up with a better name, but I'm just saying, you get the idea. The third condition that I think should be met by Will Smith with these Willie Awards, that like with the Oscars, there's a board of governors that come up with who's going to be the best picture, the category, you know, who's going to get nominated and voting and all that. With the Willie Awards, I think just like the NBA All-Star Game, with the NBA All-Star Games, the fans decide who they want to see play in an All-Star Game. Originally in the NBA All-Star Game, what they used to do is they used to take two people off of each team, but now the fans vote, okay, of who they want to see in the NBA All-Star Game, which is a once-a-year event. So with the Willie Awards, I believe that the fans should vote on best picture, best actor, best actresses, best supporting this, best supporting that, whatever kind of categories that they come up with. But the public makes they vote. They have a say on it. Well, you know, hey, it's social media anyway. So those are the three conditions, I think. Those are only, if he's going to turn it back, get these three of them, and then hold a press conference, and at the press conference say that you're going to return the Oscar to the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences, and by the way, we're announcing Will Stream. By the way, the Willie Awards will be on this particular date. And by the way, fans can go to www.willieawards.com and vote for your favorite films and actors and actresses and la-di-dee, la-di-da online. Under those conditions, then he can turn in the hardware. That's my take on it. He's got the resources. He's got the resources to do that. And it's like I say, with the streaming service. I mean, because think of it, Tyler Perry, he's got a state-of-the-art studio already. And I don't know if Tim and Daphne Maxwell Reed still have their place somewhere in Virginia. But he can partner with them, or well, here's the deal right now with Overbrook Entertainment. And this is on Wikipedia. Overbrook Entertainment was founded by Will Smith and James Lasseter. Both of them are black. James Lasseter is black. And they started it on February 2nd, 1998, 24 years ago. The key people, that they have three partners, Will Smith, James Lasseter, who is a black man, and Jada Pinkett Smith. Those are the three principals for Overbrook Entertainment. For those of you who don't know, Overbrook High School is a well-known high school and probably area in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Will Smith is from. All right? Now, some of the films that Overbrook Entertainment has produced, okay, because essentially
when you have your own production company, you can distribute those products, your films, any way you want to. That's why I'm saying he should start WillStream, his own streaming platform. All right, here's some of the films that he's produced, okay, along with his partner. All right, in 2001, and this is, fact check me, this I'm just going off Wikipedia, Ali. In 2004, they produced iRobot and Saving Face. In 2005, they produced Hitch. In 2006, they produced The Pursuit of Happiness. 2007, they produced I Am Legend. And Hancock and Human Contract. Oh, shoot, that was 2008, excuse me. 2008, they produced Hancock, Human Contract, Track, Lakeview Terrace, The Secret Life of Bees, and 7 Pounds. So he's making money off the production, and in some of these, he's starring in them. He's putting himself in vehicles, you know, that he wants to work with. In 2010, and this is my favorite one, The Karate Kid. He did a remake of a reboot of that. It's all on, let's see. There's a bunch of them on here. Let's see. 2020, Bad Boys for Life. Okay. Let's see. In 2021, that was in 2020. 2021, and he just won an Oscar for this one. King Richard. See, we need to think more like Will Smith, and I'm going to throw Jada in here. I'm not a big Jada fan at all. Well, actually, I'm not a fan of hers at all. But I got to give her her props in this partnership, okay, a vehicle with their own production company, and it came through Hollywood. But there's, once again, he's working on something right now called Emancipation. Apple's bankrolling that. Apple has a film community. Who needs Hollywood anymore? There are people on YouTube, and look this up. There's a guy, happened to be black, Dang Matt Smith. Dang Matt Smith has over 1 million subscribers. Just on YouTube. Philip Scott used to have a show called The Advice Show. I think he changed it to a different name. He's got over 1 million subscribers. There's quite a few black folks on YouTube that have 1 million plus or more, you know, more subscribers. You no longer have to go to New York City or Los Angeles, California to get your project out there. Apple TV, yeah, Emancipation, that might be out this year. That's Apple. So you got Apple, you got Hulu, and I'm naming film communities. Apple has a film community. Hulu has a film community. YouTube has a film community. Netflix has a film community. All these film companies, of course, we all know Netflix. They produce their own original content. So with WillStream, he's already got 24 years of experience in film production, distribution, making money for his investors, because that's the only reason why they've been able to last 24 years, because they make money for the people that invest in those films. So Will Smith doesn't really, 10 years, so what, let it be 1,000 years. He doesn't have to beg. He doesn't have to beg. And he's not going to lose a beat. He's not going to miss a beat. He also
Let's see. He also did Hawthorne, now with Jada Pinkett Smith. Hawthorne, guess who executive produces it? Overbrook Entertainment. No wonder Jada Pinkett Smith stars in Hawthorne, who I believe is a nurse. So although I don't like Jada Pinkett Smith, you got to give her her props. She and Will Smith, regardless of their laundry or whatever you might call it, on a business level, they don't need Hollywood. 2013 and 2015, they did the Queen Latifah show. They executive produced that. Currently on, right now, from 2018 to the present, on Netflix, and I got to catch up on it, Cobra Kai. And Cobra Kai picked up on the original cast of the movie, or the movie franchise of The Karate Kid, with Ralph Macchio and all those people. Will Smith's behind that. They did the Wild Wild West reboot, Love and Basketball, Men in Black 2, but also soundtracks and Annie. So give, if he's going to give back the trophy, do those, you know, there's a gazillion people out here with opinions like me. But I'm just saying, all right, well, you know, here, take your funky-ass trophy back. Oh, but by the way, we're announcing Will Stream, the Willie Awards, and the fans, you, the public, you decide who's going to get which trophy or whatever. And I'll throw this in, throw some salt in the wound, although it doesn't need to do it. You know, the years, we still got plenty of time in this year. You know, if your Willie Award Academy film and arts community decides to King Richard in the category for best actor and put it in there and let the public vote on should he get that award under the Willie Ward Award banner. Because, like I say, he is right on. Look, once again, go to Wikipedia, look up Overbrook Entertainment. Will and Jada Smith do not need Hollywood. Hollywood's a good thing. It's a nice little cool club, but it's not the only club in town. There are other filmmaking clubs around the globe. And like I say, 87% of the world's population doesn't even speak English. I think 13% of the planet speak English in some kind of way, but only 5% of the planet are native English speakers. So most people around the globe don't even know what the hell Oscars are, nor do they care. Anyway, but if, and you know what, they probably have it on the board, you know, they probably have on their drawing board anyway. More than likely, Will Smith, Jada Pinkett, and their partner, James Lasseter, three black folks, more than likely, they're going to start a streaming service if they don't have a de facto streaming service going already. The last movie that I went to pay to see in this country, because I went to some place over in Germany, but the last movie, U.S. movie theater that I went into was when the movie Ray came out. That's the last time I went to the movies in the United States. Other than that, a movie theater. Other than that, give me a laptop, a tablet, or a phone. I'm a streaming person. And there's a whole bunch of people like me around the globe.
And there's a whole lot more little screens than big screens. That's just the way things are today. So, in any event, that's my take on it. I'm a step off of my soapbox and let you guys have a say in it. And you know what? I think that would set a good example of because we need more entrepreneurs. And some of us, we need to get out of begging mode and whatnot. But Will Smith's got the resources right now to do everything I just said. Steve Harvey has, I don't know if he still has it, what they call the Hoodie Awards. You know, I never watched those, but, you know, that's part of his radio thing. In any event, all right, so, you guys, we got an open mic here. So, if you want to comment on that or... the Hamlets and Towns thing was basically information. All right, we'll be back to take phone calls in a couple minutes.
I try to do shit the right way. Went to the other side. Know what I learned? The game's rigged.
Snowfall is about the rise of the crack cocaine epidemic in the early 1980s in Los Angeles.
There's a storm that's coming, you know, and when that storm comes and the price of cocaine comes down, then it trickles down and becomes something known as crack.
We're not filming a documentary, but you will be educated.
This drug made its way to be one of the most popular drugs in the United States.
We're kind of exploring this moment in time when the bomb that was crack really landed on L.A.
Hey, y'all giving away some new high.
Look how your ass turned out.
The character of Franklin really is the anchor of this show.
He's a young, intelligent, soulful leader.
But chooses to kind of focus his smarts and energy into the drug game. And obviously having no idea what crack is going to do to the place and the people he loves.
How much of that soul and boyish youthfulness is chipped away at him through the actions that he has to embark on. Him moving from a boy to a man and what decisions that means.
Front me a key. I turn it around, quick.
We're following a CIA officer whose name is Teddy McDonald, and he kind of falls into this scheme to use cocaine in order to fund the war down in Nicaragua.
You really think you're the guy to step into this?
Yeah, I think I'm the perfect guy. He's torn between a sense of patriotism and duty and his own moral compass.
My character is Lucia Villanueva. She is in the distribution of marijuana, and she wants to convert over into the cocaine business.
We also come in through the eyes of a Mexican wrestler, part-time enforcer named Gustavo, wanting to really be a part of this family business he's been working for.
And maybe this dumb guy who looked like the muscle is someone different.
25,000 grams. Cut modestly, still purer than anything coming over the border.
This is a story that needs to be told, that people need to know about.
You have a little bit more grace and compassion for this epidemic and this problem that's still happening today. Why certain groups of people are more affected than others.
I think the show does a really great job to show, like, just how tough this journey is on these characters.
It's like it's a really important kind of part of our history as Americans at this particular point in time. The storyline is interacting in a way which I think is very kind of surprising and satisfying and cool and fun, and I'm really looking forward to the audience to get to experience those kind of moments.
See if it changes the way you look at American life, American history.
And in Snowfall, you see how many different people find out that the American dream comes at a bit of a heavy price.
speaking of TV, you know, I know this is going to annoy you when I say this, but my favorite show on television is Snowfall. I know this is going to annoy you when I say this. I know this.
Boo!
Have you watched it at all?
Never. Well, I'm not really into fairy tales.
Okay.
First of all.
Because the story, as someone who's watched it, who's watched every episode, it is clearly the Ricky Ross story. Based on the... I'm not saying exactly...
You're right. And you're right. You're probably right. But it's
all the way to the there's a whole Nicaraguan Contra with a DEA agent, you know, like the whole based on all the conversations you and I have had together, this is so
they probably watched your interviews too.
They probably did. John Singleton probably, because John Singleton actually met with you before the show came out.
He read my script. He read the movie script. He read the book. He bought one of my demo books.
Okay.
He bought. I had got 10 books when my book came. Before the book actually was delivered to me in bulk, they gave me 10 demos. Well, one guy paid me $100.
Okay, that was a little short interview. I didn't play at all between because of the sound quality. That was Freeway Rick Ross, friend of Warren Houston, by the way. And we were working on getting him on here. But Freeway Rick Ross, who was being interviewed by Vlad of Vlad TV. Now, I'm putting this in here, and I want you to think of Will Smith doesn't need Hollywood. And here's some examples why. Vlad TV because anybody can go on YouTube and have their own platform. Okay. Vlad TV has over 4.9 million subscribers. YouTube allows him to go direct with his fan base that he does his interviews for. That's a lot of people. All right. That's one reason why Vlad doesn't need Hollywood. And some of you probably have never even heard of Vlad TV. Once again, 87% of the population of the earth doesn't speak English. And only 5% of the planet are native English speakers. The other, you know, that spread between 5 and 13, you know, they speak multiple languages. Another person, he happens to be black also, Vlad is Ukrainian. But a lot of the guests that he interviews are black. Not all, but quite a few. But he's got over 4 million visits. So he doesn't need the Hollywood machine. Big Ja, he's a black YouTuber. He does a lot of comedy skits. He's got over 1.3 million subscribers. He doesn't need Hollywood. All right. Another person. And YouTube and the internet, and I'm just naming one platform because YouTube's just one platform. Once again, YouTube has its own film production company now, and they produce original films and TV shows. All right. Dang Matt Smith, another black YouTuber, and most of you people have never heard of this guy. He's got over 13.5 million subscribers. He doesn't need, you no longer need Hollywood to get your content or your entertainment, whatever it might be. It could be a documentary. It could be a serious thing or whatever. But Hollywood's not going anywhere. They don't have an exclusive piece of the pie like they used to have. And there's scores of other people on YouTube. I'm not even going to mention Instagram's a whole other thing. So social media in general is a serious game changer on where we get our entertainment from. For me, I'm a streaming guy. Matter of fact, there's an expression out here called Netflix and chill. So you have more people today, and Netflix and chill basically, let me give you the clean version of it, is when you, you know, you go to a friend's house or whatever, or and basically y'all see what's on Netflix and watch it on your flat screen or whatever device that you have, that, you know, where y'all watching it, on the beach, you know, you're streaming a movie. So there's a lot more people that Netflix and chill, or Hulu and chill, or Amazon and chill, whatever it might be, than going to, like, I haven't gone to the movie theaters since in the United States. Now, I went to some place. Last time I set foot in a movie theater was over in Germany, and that was well over 10 or 12 years ago, probably over 15 years ago. But the last time I went to a movie in the United States was when they released the movie Ray, starring Jamie Foxx. That's the last time. It was one of the stations in Union Station in Washington, D.C. That's the last time I set foot in a movie theater in the United States. Most of the movies that I catch are by stream. Or if I'm flying somewhere internationally, you know, I watch stuff that they have. I mean, I watch two of the James Bond movies on an airplane for the first time. This was years, I mean, when the movie, you know, during the Daniel Craig era. I watched two of his movies while flying across the Atlantic. So that's where the ball is, people. Hollywood, I mean, you know, to tell the truth, I haven't even watched I didn't even watch the Oscars this past year. It's just, I became aware of the whole debacle when I saw, you know, a YouTube video of it on a Monday morning. The Oscars was Sunday night, 2 weeks ago. But I haven't watched the Oscars in well over 20 years, if not 30. Matter of fact, this is 2022. I have not watched in the 2020, since it hit 2000, that's 22 years right there. And I can't remember watching it in the 90s. Maybe in the early 80s. That's the last time I haven't watched the Oscars, the Grammys, or the American Music Awards. I've never watched the Source Awards where they broke out in a fight 1 year. You know, it's because it's just more things to me that are more interesting. That's for me, though. So, if anything, although, you know, I don't agree with what Will Smith did, but, you know, this is probably the most attention that the Oscars have had in many years. And as far as I'm concerned, decades. But people are just not, you know, that's my take on it. People are just not watching the Oscars like it. And like I say, the business model has changed. You know, Hulu, like a lot of the Hollywood movies were basically financed through a lot of private money, investors, even people like you and me. However, Netflix, the new people in town, okay, the new business model, Netflix, Hulu, Apple, Amazon, let's see, Netflix. It's subscriber based now. They've started movie studios based on us sending in our little monthly subscriptions to stream on their particular service. And anybody within the sound of my voice You can, matter of fact, I got to get him on here one day. Al Greaves, he produced a film called Frustrated. It's got over 1 million views. It's on YouTube. And I think he started some type of, when he released, because he's got Frustrated as a series now. I need to give him a call. I haven't talked to him in a while. But anybody within the sound of my voice can start your own streaming service now. So Hollywood is not dead, but it's a niche. It's a niche, and but it's no longer the only game in town. And YouTube, I think they have, do they have an award ceremony? Let me look it up real quick. YouTube. Because I know if you hit 100,000 subscribers, all right, they have the YouTube Awards or YouTube Creator Awards. Let me read about this. I know if you hit 100,000 subscribers, they send something out to you. Real nice. And if you hit 1 million subscribers, they send something out too. And this is global. Let's see, they have Silver Creator Awards, Gold Creator Awards. All right, here, let's get this now. See, this is where the ball is going. Or not going, this is where it is. All right. Here the awards. All right. Graphite for channels with 1 to 99 subscribers. Channels with 100 subscribers or more can apply for a custom URL. Then Opal, that's 1,000 subscribers to 9,999 subscribers. With this minimum account, you're required, you can get into their partner program. Then they got Bronze, 10,000 subscribers to 99,999. The YouTube Next Up program, exclusive channels, meeting threshold. Let's see. Then they got, now, here are the creator awards. You know, if you got 100,000 subscribers or more, there's the Silver Creator Award. And they got pictures of this on YouTube, people. I mean, Wikipedia. Then there's the Gold Creator Awards. Awarded Gold Creator Awards from YouTube, awarded to channels that reach and surpass 1 million subscribers or more. All right. Then there's the Diamond Creator Award, awarded to channels that reach 10 million subscribers. All right. And there's money connected to all this too. All right. Then they list and Dang Matt Smith, who's a black dude, he's in the diamond category. And they list the top 17 on there. And then one YouTuber that I follow, she's a travel vlogger, Mary Jane Byram, black woman. Mary Jane's about 25, 26. Mary Jane takes in about, she's got, matter of fact, let me go check up on Mary Jane. Now, she doesn't have 1 million people. She doesn't even have 30, she doesn't even have 100,000 people. We're going to get to it in a minute. What does she have? Mary Jane Byram. Okay, Mary Jane. She's got 265,000 subscribers. Mary Jane takes in, anywhere from between 15,000 to $30,000 to $35,000 a month. Now, that's the old figure. I think she makes more than that now, but because her subscriber base, she was making more than that before before she even reached 100,000 people. But she goes direct. I mean, that's the beauty of YouTube. It allows you to go direct. I mean, same here with Blog Talk. You can go direct. So I don't consider the 10-year ban from not attending events. That's what they wanted to do. But what else could you do? I say if he turns in the award, which he could, but I already gave you my take on that. All right. We're going to come back in a few minutes. If you need a drink or something, you need to take a body break, do it now. We'll be back after this. Just go to the phone lines.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Had to cut that short. All right, now. One more other platform I want to mention of the amount of freedom that we do have out here today is President Trump. He was banned from Twitter and Facebook. He was definitely banned through Twitter or by Twitter. But he has come out with his own social media platform. I believe it's called Truth. Well, hold on, let me look it up. Donald Trump's Trump social media. Let's just put it that way. Social media. What's that called? I guess it's called Truth. Well, hold on, Truth social media. True social media. I got to download the app to my phone, but I think it's called Truth. So that's what he did. You know? So, like I say, Will Smith, if he's, my take, if I were him, which I'm not, okay, if I was going to turn that in, that the only way I would turn that Oscar in is I would make that announcement. I mean, hey, because if you release a press release, you know, they're going to eat it all up. I would do a press release or whatever you want to call it, and I would announce Will Scream and the Willie Awards and Thank You Academy and hand back the trophy. That's if I was doing it, but I'm not him, so. He's made his apologies. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science, they've made their ruling. And Overbrook Entertainment, they're still making films, and one that is already now was getting a buzz already for possible awards and hasn't been released yet. It's called Emancipation. It stars Will Smith and is being bankrolled by Apple. Let me see. Before I go to the phone line, see Emancipation, Apple TV. Okay, Emancipation. All right, and this is on Wikipedia too. Emancipation is an upcoming action thriller film directed by Antoine Fuqua and written by Norman N. Collage and starring Will Smith. It is scheduled to be released in 2022. All right. And it will be distributed by Apple TV. Let's see. Let's get more on this. It stars Will Smith and Ben Foster. The production, this is on, look, people, get on, Wikipedia. Look up Emancipation 2022 film. All right, it stars Will Smith and Ben Foster. The production companies is Overbrook Entertainment, Westbrook Studios, McFarlane Entertainment, Escape Artists, and Apple Studios. It's distributed by Apple TV, and you know that's online. Okay. Country, United States, language is English. Once again, people, 87% of the world population that does watch movies does not speak English. This film so far will be in English. They might dub it in other languages later, but for right now, the majority of the planet can't even understand what they'll be saying. But they'll do well, though. Okay. And it's got the list of actors and actresses in the film. And it's got a buzz already. The premise of this film, Emancipation, after being whipped nearly to death, and I hate slave movies, man, but Will Smith might well have a twist on it. A slave named Peter escapes from a Louisiana plantation, outwitting cold-blooded hunters led by Fassel, and he makes his way north, where he joins the Union Army. All right, the film is based on the the true story of an escaped slave named Gordon. Photographs of his bare back, heavily scarred. Now, due to the fact that they said he makes his way north and joins the Union Army, I might watch it because of that. And Will Smith has a habit of taking lemons and turning them to lemonade as well. But in any event, so this film is due to be released this year, people. Emancipation. And Apple TV and Netflix, they're part of the Silicon Valley film community. Totally different from Hollywood. It's a new day. Anyway, I think Will Smith will land on his feet. And part of that landing on his feet is the man owns his own studio. Let's go to the phone lines here. 314, your mic is open.
L.A., how you doing today?
I can't complain. The weather is perfect for me. It's a little bit cool with no humidity in Florida. I'm enjoying this while I can before it gets hot.
Well, my opinion is Will Smith need to have his ass in jail.
Well, there's some people that want that too. But Chris Rock hasn't filed any charges, and the DA's office, I don't know what they might be doing, because
Chris Rock don't
something
have
like
to file
this, they might run it through a grand jury.
Chris Rock don't have to file any charges.
But that's true. The DA can run it through a grand jury.
But nobody talks
grand jury
about
indictment.
That. Yeah, nobody talks about that. It goes to show you about their black privilege. It's on video.
He is using black privilege at the moment. You are right.
It's on video, and he committed a crime against the state of California.
That he
did.
That's
what the law says.
Now, what's the most that he can get for that, you think?
For assault
he might
and battery?
Be a first-time offender. Assault and battery. Well, when he hit him, that's battery. Then when he went back to his seat, and then, you know, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth. He said it twice. That's assault.
He's
by
a
saying
thug.
That, that's assault. So he's got a. There's a de facto assault and battery case there. It, you know, right now the ball's in the DA's court. Will the DA put it to a grand jury?
It's probably
and
a
grand jury.
LA,
is supposed to be free.
As Los Angeles got a black DA, that's probably why. Because I think
well,
San Francisco's got one, and he is not prosecuting these felons. And you know, you name all these movies. Why come these movies that blacks are engaged in has to do with some kind of crime element? And I guess
well,
Emancipation
now,
gonna have to do.
That's a slave movie, Emancipation, but. No,
what
the movie
that
he's starring in now with King Richard is a story about a black man with two daughters who made them millionaires. That's what King Richard's
about.
Yeah,
but think of the movies that we have associated with black viewership, from your Truck Turner, Superfly, The Match.
Well, true.
Wait, man, hang on.
And,
Lucas,
the whole black
Frank
exploitation
Lucas.
Thing.
Frank Lucas, the drug stuff.
True.
Yeah, I guess you're going to do one on Freeway Rick. You got that one drug kingpin there in Detroit. I can't think of his name.
Well, there's been a few up there.
Glory, slavery. Why don't they movies always have to deal with slavery or crime
now,
elements? Glorifying criminal.
That's a good question.
But let's take a look. Now, if you look at the stuff that's come out of Overbrook Entertainment, he hasn't put out anything, and he definitely hasn't started anything.
What's the name of it? Where he is a murderer or a drug dealer. What's the name of it?
What's Overbrook Entertainment? That's Will and Jada Smith.
Guess what?
What's it?
I ain't never heard of that.
Well, most people haven't.
Well, that's what I'm talking
about. They've been
in
business for the last 24 years. They are.
Ain't nobody ever heard of that.
The film that he won an Academy Award for, he won it for King Richard. And Overbrook Entertainment produced that film. It was about a black father with, well, we already know what happened, that he took his two daughters, got them to learn tennis, and they both became multimillionaires. That's what the movie King Richard is about. I have not seen Will Smith in any drug dealing movie. You're right about it. A lot, the black exploitation era, the Mac, the Superfly, Frank Lucas, Blackula, all that, there's a lot of negativity. But what I like about, now I'm going to throw his wife in there, with Overbrook Entertainment, to my knowledge, from what I've read today, it's right on the internet, they have not produced anything with a negative stereotype.
Let me watch you do one called Hot Cheeks.
Hot, what now?
And he's also engaged in a same-sex relationship, Will Smith, isn't he?
I've heard that rumor, but that's all I've heard is a rumor. I haven't heard anything come out of his mouth, no pun intended.
Well, why would you flaunt that type of imagery in front of your kids?
Well, I can't answer that question because
With the attack on young people today and the subject matters that's going on discussions with what's going on in schools like the one there in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
with the exposure of explicit sexual material to kids, why would we continue to flaunt that type of behavior without the ability for parents to say no, cut it off, or block it out in front of
right.
children like that?
I think his wife, Jada Smith, I think she should have, or the cat's out of the bag now, I think there should be boundaries. Like, if you're having an affair or had affairs with whoever what, that's your business. Don't put it out there so your kids and everybody else's kids can hear it. But she does what she wants to do. I don't think she do it, but she did it.
And it seemed like blacks who used to always complain about segregation wants to segregate. They want to have their own towns, their own schools. They want to have their own neighborhood watch such association.
Right.
Their own grocery stores. Isn't that kind of unusual to you?
What unusual, that they want to have their own?
Yeah. How you going to have your own town? How you going to have your only own black-owned town in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Not possible. You had the Republic of New Africa want 5 southern states. Now you know about that, right?
No. Now repeat that again.
Yeah, the Republican, the organization called the Republic of New Africa, has proclaimed...
Hold on. You mean you talking about the Republic of Africa?
It's an organization in the United States. I ain't never heard of that neither. It's an organization in the United States called the Republic of New Africa.
Okay.
Mario Obadeli was part of it.
Okay.
He's dead now. They want 5 southern states for black people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, here's the thing about that. You got these organizations, these figureheads, that always say they want something. They want to be the spokesperson for Black America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where the hell do Black America and members of input what they want and don't want? You got black stores that complain, and this has been going on for a long time, because I read back in some businesses back in the 1600s was complaining that blacks don't shop at these stores. You know why? Because they don't want to.
Right.
And now, to complicate things much more, it has politics to deal with. Because if you are of a certain political persuasion, which goes against the interests of other blacks, why would they support you and you in turn support those politics that go against their interests, i.e. the whole idea of taxing unearned gains? That ain't no good. Still there?
Yeah. I'm listening. Plus, I'm checking out what you told me about Republic of New Africa.
Oh, hell, you got also other logic songs. You got the Nation of Islam. They talking about they want to have they this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the Hebrew Israelites want to have their own nation, want to go someplace. You got one group that stands on the riverbank facing a certain direction, all of them in multiple states, only a handful of them in these states, waiting for a particular hour to come. They dressed in white, supposedly they got all their business together. They donned in white garments facing in a certain direction in St. Louis down on the Mississippi River. And when a certain hour comes, they supposed to be swept up. Well, the hour comes, then it time passes on. Finally, sooner or later, they feel and finally realize they've been duped. And they turn around with their heads down, lips poked out, dejected, and go home. And every now and then they look over their shoulder to see maybe the rapture is late coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's for real. Why don't they do a movie on that? That'd be nice.
Well, it's an idea that can be put out there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the largest movie makers is probably in the Nigerians with Nollywood.
Exactly.
They have teen family viewership type movies. They ain't got all that crazy
Nollywood
stuff.
Movies
like that.
I watch Nollywood movies myself on occasion.
Yeah, like that skit you play on The Wire. And the other one with the guy getting shot, the police officer getting shot, but being Pelican Bay and stuff. I wouldn't allow my kids to look.
That's what Denzel won. He won an Oscar for that. But you're right.
How you win an Oscar on something like that?
Well, if you look at Halle Berry from Monsters Ball, and let's see, somebody won a Oscar for the film Glory. All the black people in that got killed in that movie.
Well, in real life, yes. You're absolutely right. And like I say, Will Smith should have his ass in jail. That there is another example out of this segment of population, they don't demand and don't receive justice. Whites ain't got shit to do with that. Nothing. Nothing to do with that. And you have to wonder. Now, to be truthful with you, there are blacks that reject that, but they go on deaf ears, and that's fleeing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to say something, too, about the Supreme Court nominee and confirmation.
Yeah, what's your take on that? We have a new Supreme Court justice. I mean, she hasn't been sworn in yet, but she will be soon.
I think she's probably qualified, but I don't think she's worthy. Heck, she only sat on the D.C. Circuit for 7 months. And in her tenure time, she don't had either 11 or 12 of her reviews rejected by higher courts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she has a different philosophy. Another thing, Breyer has not vacated the seat. Why did Congress, Democrats work so fast to get her nominated and confirmed? Ain't no open seat for her. Now, suppose he decided that, well, you know, I feel better now. I went to Planet Fitness and worked out. I think I'm going to pull back my resignation. Now what? Do they tell her, well, you're going to have to come back again later? No, they ain't going to do that. You know why? Because she's black. That's why she was nominated, because of her skin color. I mean, let's face it. But you know what they're doing?
What's it?
They made you say, well, we need to appoint another one so that she can sit where she was going to replace him. And we need to appoint another one so we'd have an odd number. It's a backdoor way of packing the court. There's no precedent except for this time. And they got the upper hand in the Senate chambers. So this could be one of them Obama backdoor plans once again. And by the way, I wouldn't describe the next look because him and his wife sit on the board.
Okay.
He pays Joe Biden a visit, I guess, to inform him on some pertinent information. Joe Biden should be impeached. There's none. Evidence coming out on Hunter Biden's computer. Matter of fact, if the evidence had been released like it was supposed to be, there wouldn't have been no impeachments toward Donald Trump. But sometimes with them, it don't make no difference. So either we're going to have law and order and do the right thing. Wasn't there a movie called, a black movie called Do the Right Thing?
Yeah, Spike Lee.
Yeah, we can make the movies, but in reality, it is not being demanded. Do the right things, at least like the law says. Why did they just throw everything on out the window?
They've got this lady will be the fourth woman on the bench, Supreme Court. They've got Judge Amy Coney Barrett. She's on the Supreme Court bench. You got Elena Kagan. You got Sonia Sotomayor, or Judge Sotomayor. So she'll be that'll be the fourth woman on the bench.
Wonder why come Biden nominated her.
That's a good, yeah.
Back in 2005, when George Bush Jr. nominated Janice Rogers Brown, a black woman, with impeccable qualifications, other than the fact that she has a conservative leaning, guess who came out against her?
Who?
Biden
you
came
know
out against
the
her.
Gonna be? Almost half the bench will be women.
Biden came out against her. Came out against her for her appointment on the D.C. Circuit. And also it was mentioned her taking Sandra Day O'Connor's seat on the Supreme Court, a black female. Biden came out against her. So why did he say, I'm going to nominate a black woman for the Supreme Court? Which that in itself, L.A., is really illegal according to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, that appointments and hiring based on skin color is wrong. It's illegal. If I call down the hiring hall and tell them, send me a white worker out here, would that be frowned upon?
Yeah.
But when it comes down to this one ethnic group, it seems like all rules and regulations goes out the window and then privilege steps forward.
Okay, Harvard and Yale look like here. They're privileged. This Supreme Court is dominated by East Coast law schools.
Oh, there ain't no West Coast law schools or notoriety.
No.
Is it?
Well, yeah. Well, no, they got West Coast law schools.
Of notoriety.
But
they're
not as old as Harvard and Yale, though.
Why come she didn't go to HBC law school?
I don't know much about this new judge. Actually, she graduated from, I think, Yale Law School.
And here's another point. Other than symbolic emotional gesture, what difference does it make of her skin color?
It's not supposed to make a difference, but...
Yeah, but what do popular black thought think going to come out of it, her having white, black skin? I mean, what's the thumb rule?
Well, for one, it would be the first time you got two black people on the Supreme Court. That'll be interesting.
Well, hell, at the Oscar, you had the first black.
But what does that mean, though? Because Clarence Thomas is conservative.
At the Oscar, you had the first black get slapped by another black. That's the first time in history, right?
Yeah. That was the first. That was the first time, a first for somebody getting hit.
So what is expectation because you're going to have a black person, female, on the Supreme Court other than symbolic and emotionalism? She can't write laws, right?
Nope.
Judges don't legislate.
The judges are not supposed to legislate from the bench. They're not supposed to do that.
Absolutely. Judges don't interpret constitutions, right?
Right.
They just interpret the laws. So I wonder why come this is such a special moment other than symbolic and emotionalism.
Well, you've got that with Kamala Harris, with her seat, VP.
They say Kamala Harris ain't black, right?
Well, she claims it. Well, she also claims Asian as well, because her mother's from India, that's Asian, and her father was black from Jamaica. So
well,
she claims
if you got it where, if you got it where a
and
biological male, if you got it where a biological male can claim to be female. You had a member of a California D.C., a California NAACP chapter. Her name was Rachel Dolezal, I think, or something like that.
Rachel Dolezal. She's a white woman biologically, but was claiming black.
Yeah.
Some call it transracial.
So why come these questions are not asked And why come these questions are not spread evenly across the board? Because it's a bunch of hogwash. Give me the ability to put my child where I want them to be educated, and everything else, let them keep it. Because if I don't want my child to associate with it, they're not going to associate with it. If I don't want my child to participate in it, they're not going to participate in it. Simple as that.
Right.
Did you find out about the Republic of New Africa?
I did. Where I have it right here. It's got a map from Louisiana to South Carolina. And
they want to control those states. Can you imagine that happening?
That's not going to happen. That's not
going
to happen.
Well, there's nothing wrong with shooting for the sky, aiming for the sky, right?
Yeah. I'm looking for – they got a website. Or they got an online blog.
I don't know. I know them. I participated in one of their Pleasant sites. You know what a Pleasant site is, don't you?
No, what's that?
It's an election where they elect
okay.
leaders, presidents, and office officials for the organization. Anyway, you might have somebody else that wants to call in. I don't want to
well, they might,
pick up.
At best, they might have a village here or there, but based on this map that I'm looking at, they're not going. That won't happen.
Well, that's due, in fact, to all these ideas. A lot of these ideas you hear. The Nation of Islam on that phone, I think it's in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nobody come down there and grow stuff on it to no extent. Wrigley's Farm. Nation of Islam, you got Muslim schools. Members of the mosques in the city where these schools are, the ones I know, because this may not apply at all, they don't send their kids there, L.A. Why? I know in St. Louis they send their kids to the Catholic high school. They don't go to the Muslim school. These blacks.
You're absolutely right.
L.A.
The bottom line is, boy, how can I dress it up? Well, I guess now you have to talk to these people on an individual basis, but for some people, the white man's ice is cold.
Why should you do that? Well, it don't
you know what,
be.
At the end of the day, no matter what color, people are looking for good customer service and a good product or service. And whoever offers that gets the money.
And they're looking for prices. So why would they go shop at a black store? The prices are going to be higher, right? Think about it. They're not going to out-purchase a Walmart where they're going to be afforded with bulk cheap prices that they can pass on to the consumer. I mean, do you see the same thing that I see? Then these stores will be located in very treacherous locations
mm-hmm.
where you stand a chance of being afflicted with crime.
But,
I mean,
you have agents that go into high crime, supposedly high crime areas, open up a convenience store or gas station, and they do well.
Well, they do well because foot traffic comes to the stores.
Right.
None of that foot traffic is Asians.
No.
Asians don't shop at them stores. Asians ain't no damn fool. They ain't going in there and become a element of criminality.
I wonder why. Why can't you get a, you know, it seems like if you got a black church in a black neighborhood, then let the black church open up some stores.
Well, hell, you got in St. Louis, you got black,
probably done that,
you got black churches. In St. Louis, you got black churches that get robbed.
I've heard of that before. That's sad when you
rob. So what I'm telling you about is that all these good ideas sound good for the ears that's receptive of it, but in practicality, that stuff ain't working. And I feel sorry for these people, wherever they come on with that stuff. If you got a black store owned black, and one thing that the owner, because of whatever reason, that's their sole point of income, well, that puts them at a disadvantage right there and there, right then and there. And like I said before, when you come down to where your political donations go, who in the heck's going to support a store that turn around and support the type of politics that go against progress, liberty, that goes against business freedom without undue regulations and taxation? The two just don't mix, like water and oil.
Right.
Unless I got it wrong. Anyway, where's Robin at today?
She, hold on, she, Robin pressed one. Her light's on, but holy, Robin, you there? She's in the studio, but I don't know if she's around the phone. Robin, press one.
Because Robin,
you're near your phone.
Robin can give some good analytical views on what's being talked about.
Man, I'm going to have to.
Very, very good analysis.
Robin. Oh, you know, I might have to page her or text her. Let me.
Well, that's okay. It's 11:30. You need to get off so you can save your money.
So, all right.
9:30
well,
and 10:30. 2 hours.
Okay,
all right,
Robin,
then, L.A., I'll talk to you later. If you find
right.
somebody that can answer those questions, have them on.
All right. Thanks for
talk
calling.
To you later.
Okay, Robin, I don't think she's in. All right. Pianki just dropped off. All right. Any other? Let me see if she's on Facebook. Robin. Because she's 3 hours behind us here on the East Coast. Okay. Well, Robin's not there, so all right, we're going to wrap it up for today. I don't know what we'll talk about tomorrow, but hopefully we'll move on from this Oscar thing. But anyway, but like I said, I look it up, Overbrook Entertainment. They got a Wikipedia page. And Overbrook Entertainment has been in business for the last 24 years. And I mean, will cast himself in films that, like I said, without... And I have to give, you know what? This is why I think he should keep that Oscar. Number one, the Richard Williams story needed to be told. And he placed himself, we're talking about Jada, even Jada, Will and Jada placed themselves in Hollywood where they can accept or create, well, hold on, what's the best word? Create opportunities to tell a Richard Williams story. You know, he also did another positive film about a black man with the movie Pursuit of Happiness, where, you know, this guy, I don't know if you guys saw the movie, but, man, that's a very positive movie for any man, any person to watch, particularly a black man. He was a black man. He had a son, and, man, they were broke, beyond broke. You know, they had sleeping in shelters. Once they had to sleep in a men's room. But he's taking care of his son. And then he volunteered at an internship. I don't know how he made ends meet, man, but he made them. Check out, he's really done some very positive black male roles because he's done them through his company, Overbrook Entertainment. So, although the slap incident wasn't a good look, but I'm looking at the film that he produced and other films like it. That's why he'll bounce back on his feet. Actually, he's probably already bounced back on it. I mean, Emancipation's the next one that's coming out. Okay, on that note, everybody else is silent today, so I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good rest of the day.